Sometimes we realize it more than others, but yes, we do. So let's worship together here. It's all about God, not about us. And let's start with our readings.
Today's first lesson is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ, to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Here ends the lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children want to go out for children's church at this time? Feel free. Marcy and Maya will help you out there. All right. You go with your cousin there, Monroe? There we go. All right. Thank you, Lord, for kids. Thank you for life. And thank you for sending your Son to save us and to show us the right way that we may live in that way and join you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We continue our journey through 1 John here today. Again, John, one of the inner three disciples, walked with Jesus, listened to the teachings firsthand. So here we have a firsthand eyewitness, which I love. It's great. He's just relating what he's learned and encouraging others with it. So he says today, this is the message we have heard from him. And again, an eyewitness, firsthand, he heard it directly from Jesus. You can't get better than that. This is not something that came about years later. This is firsthand. And declare to you, so he's declaring it to us, even thousands of years later, thanks to writing, he can do that. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. And that light and dark analogy, it works so well here once again. That God is light. Light is good. We can see where we're going. We're not stumbling in the darkness when we're with him. And in him there is no darkness. Okay, but if we claim to have fellowship with him but yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So sometimes we think we can have our cake and eat it too. Well, I can still maybe continue in this sin, but hey, I'll still go to church on Sunday. I'll still pray in the morning. I'll still read my scripture. Maybe, you know, we can cut a deal with God where, yeah, I can still do this, you know. We might think we can do it that way. But when you give yourself completely to God, which I think we're sort of still doing, all of us, we have little parts that we want to hold on to, you know. Can I still do this? But I'll still go to church and things like that. It should be a complete giving of ourselves to God, giving him access to every part of our life. I know Pastor Becky used to talk about letting him into the front entry, maybe in the living room, but I want to, you know, sort of keep this part for myself, or maybe I'm not going to clean out this closet quite yet. And that's very a human thing. And here John is sort of addressing that. But if we're walking in the darkness, there's a danger in that. You can't see obstacles. You're going to be stubbing your toes on stuff, and that might be a reminder to you. Or else you can't see traps, because the enemy is always setting out traps for us. And if he sets them in the dark, we can't see them, and we're going to stumble into them so easily if we're still continuing in sin. Whatever it may be for you, you know, maybe it's drinking, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's, you know, who knows what. But we've all got something that the devil uses against us. And we can't always see those traps in the darkness. But if we're walking in the light, then it becomes apparent, right? So if we walk in the darkness, we're not living by the truth. We're living in ways counter to God. We're not going to have that internal peace either, as you will when you give yourself over fully. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's pretty cool. Okay, walking in the light, not alone, like alone in the dark, but with one another. Here we get to walk together with brothers and sisters in Christ. They're sitting all around you right now. They're sitting in other churches this morning as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get to walk with them. That's what I love about our joint youth events, where we get together with area churches, and they get to see that they're part of a bigger family, that we have brothers and sisters all around us in different churches, in the community, and around the world. If we could gather the whole church together, how cool would that be? And it's going to happen someday, okay? The whole church will be gathered together, amen? It's going to happen, all right? But we got brothers and sisters right now that are over in India, that are over in China, that are over in South Africa, that are all around the world. Believers with us in Jesus Christ. And not only through geography, but throughout time. You go back a few centuries in a time machine, you're going to find Christians. Absolutely. You go back 1,000 years. Yes. Someone in the backwoods of Romania or something, living in a hut, but they were a Christian. They are a fellow believer with us. And we walk with them in the light as well, and we will for eternity. It's going to come. You're going to meet people from all different times and places. It's going to be so cool. So you're walking together in the light. You can walk alone in the light, and that works too, right? You're a believer walking alone in the light, but there's something about coming together and reinforcing it, encouraging others along the way. That's a wonderful thing. If we're alone, we are more vulnerable again to the enemy. But working with others, living with others, walking with others in the light, we can build each other up. And I guess that's sort of misstating it, if we build each other up. We do that. But is it God through us building others up? Yeah. When he guides your words, when he guides your actions, he's going to use you to build others up. So it's him. And give way to that. You know, Lord, use me however you want. Just offer yourself up, and he's going to speak to you. He's going to work through you. He's going to build others up through you. He's going to use you as a tool for the kingdom. And what a privilege to be used by God for the kingdom purposes as we offer ourselves up. You'll come into encounters with people you get to meet with they hadn't even planned on, and you let God work through you again to build them up. I had an encounter the other day on Friday. I was getting ready to go volunteer up at Sacred Journey Academy there. Christian school up in Alexandria, and a car pulls in the driveway. And there's three guys sitting in it. I'm going, could it be? Yeah, there's three Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was late getting up there because I spent a half hour. I went, hey, can I go get my Bible? Yeah, so we sat in the driveway. They're just going through Scripture, and they've got a part of the truth. They've got a part of it, but they don't see the whole picture. And I was trying to get that through to them, and eventually did get to pray with them, sort of. I asked if we could pray together. He said, well, we really sort of hesitate to do that. But I did pray over them, and I prayed blessings over them, and I continue to do so. Invited them back. They might be coming back. Who knows? But I did invite them back because I would love to see them see the whole truth. The whole truth, right? They got a part of it. But they're not seeing Jesus in the light of who he is. That we're not good enough. That Jesus did come down. He died on our behalf for our sins so that we can walk in the light together. Without him, we'd still be in the dark. And these people are still in the dark, right? They've got God the Father. They got Jehovah. And they've got sort of an understanding of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but they don't have the whole picture yet. But we do. We're privileged to have that, and we ought to share that with others. We are called to share that with others. We are called as Christians to do that. And I would hope everybody here could defend their faith. As Peter said, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. So we should be able to share our faith effectively. And you'll have opportunities as well. Alrighty, so walking together in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Yes, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Not just some sin, but he uses that word all, completely. And that those words sort of jump out at me when I see all or every or something like that. Like when you're taking a true false, you know, test or something like that in school, if you see all, well, be careful because there's usually exceptions, right? But no exceptions here, none, all sin. His sacrifice is worthy. It's acceptable to God. He lived the perfect life that we cannot. We're not perfect, but Jesus is. And it took that to free us then, to give us the freedom from that sin. So we have been delivered from that sin, but if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We continue to sin as a problem. We are human. We got that thing going on. You maybe have been freed from this major sin or lifestyle that you used to have, but it's still things are going to pop up. Okay, they do. And that's why we confess our sins every Sunday, and hopefully more than just that. You can confess to God anytime. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Again, that word all unrighteousness. He will purify us, what he has done. Again, we cannot do it ourselves. We're not good enough. But thank God Jesus is. That's what it comes down to. Okay, we are sinners in need of a Savior. God saw that, God realized that, and he sent his one and only Son as a result. We'll get to it in a bit here. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. If we claim we haven't sinned, we make him out to be a liar. Now, calling God a liar, that should give you a pause to reflect right there, right? Okay, that's pretty doggone serious when you start calling God a liar, and that's what it's saying here. So don't say that you're without sin. We are all sinners. None of us is perfect, not a one. That he was without sin, throw the first stone. I'm not even going to pick up to grab a stone because I know I'm a sinner. We all know we are. We should know that. If we think we're not, no, we need a little reminder that we are all sinners. And that's what Paul stresses in Romans today as well. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Again, the word all. No exceptions. Not a one. All right, he says, now righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. And that's Jesus, apart from the law. The law is the old way. You follow the rules in here, and there are lots of them, and they are good. They are for our good. A lot of people see laws as sort of restrictions on what we can do. Yeah, and we shouldn't be doing those things, okay? That's why the law is there, to keep us from doing those things, to show us what's right and what's wrong. Because if we just follow what we think is right, what if it feels good, do it type thing, is that going to lead in God's way? It's going to lead us down different roads. And we need to be brought back on track. We need those reminders. Because if we just try to follow the human way, we see people doing that. Absolutely, today's society and culture, where anything's acceptable. Well, not according to God, right? Read His Word. Very clear what's acceptable and what's not. But the law was not there for a restriction. It's not for that. It's to show His love for us. Because He cares, He has the rules. When you're raising kids, you have rules because you care about them, because you love them, right? Don't go near the street. You're not restricting their movement. You're doing it because you know better and you love them. And that's the way the Jews saw the law. You know, they talk about in Psalms how I treasure your law, right? How I read, meditate on day and night. How I value your law. Because it shows God's love for them. That's one of the things the law does, is it shows the love for us. Another thing it does is it shows us our sin or our error. We can use it as a mirror. We look into God's perfect law and say, yeah, I fall short. Well, don't worry if you fall short, because we all do, right? Jews and Greeks, doesn't matter, Gentiles, we all fall short of the glory of God. Again, because we're not good enough. But thank God Jesus was and is. Okay, we're not going to just say Jesus was. We're going to say He is, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alrighty. All fall short of the glory, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Justified freely. There's no price, right? You can't buy it. This is a free gift from God. That's what grace is all about. It's a free gift. He's that good. He's offering it to us. You can't buy it. It's free. We've been saved by grace through faith. And this not of our own doing. We don't earn it. It's a free gift from God because He is that good. We decide to accept it, I guess you could put it that way. He offers it to everybody. Some are going to turn Him down. They want to keep on living their own way, doing what they think is right. But we who have turned to God have been born again, and we see things from a whole different lens, a whole different way. You know, we got that hindsight is 20/20. Once we've accepted Jesus in our life, we can look back, and we can see where we strayed. And absolutely, we all have. I know I have in many ways. I can look back now and see the way I was living when I was like in my early 20s and stuff like that, and I can see a lot of straying. But that's not me anymore. I am not the same. I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't walk those paths anymore. I've come into the light from the darkness. And I don't want to go back into that darkness. Absolutely not. I want to live in the light with God and with others. God presented Him as a sacrifice, presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. All right, to pay for our sins, a sacrifice. Sacrifice is another thing that was really big in the Old Testament. People are always giving sacrifices. They're bringing animals to the temple to sacrifice them. They are showing respect to God as a result. We also sacrifice in many ways. If you're part of a successful marriage, you know what sacrifice is about, right? Because you're sacrificing your wants and your needs for someone else's at times. Ideally, both sides are, right? Trying to meet in the middle. Sacrificing what's important to us sometimes, our selfish things, for the common good. If you're a parent, you know what sacrifice is about. You sacrifice things for your kids. I don't know too many mothers who wouldn't, when it comes down to it, give their lives for their kids. They're willing to sacrifice that much. And if kids aren't important enough to sacrifice for, if kids aren't valued, you know, like little kids or even unborn kids, for goodness sake, something's wrong. Something is wrong if life is not valued. So a sacrifice, then, when you're giving up something for your spouse, you're giving up something for your kids, it shows love is what it does, okay? A sacrifice shows love. So when people were sacrificing to God in the Old Testament, they are showing love to Him. And we sacrifice, you know, parts of our life for Him as well. You know, we put aside the old things, we put them on the altar, and they're gone. They're done with. They're burned up, right? Just take that image of your old sins, you put them on the altar, and they are just consumed as the Old Testament offerings were. And you are now free from them because God will forgive completely and totally if we accept what Jesus did on the cross. And the humbling part here, when Jesus was on the cross, it's not sacrificing to God. It's not us sacrificing to God. It's God sacrificing Himself for us. You feel worthy of that? That God would sacrifice his son for you? I don't. It seems so reversed. It seems so flipped, right? We've been sacrificing things for God for centuries, they have been, and now God sacrifices for us. His one and only son, as it said in John. This is like Abraham and Isaac, where he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. He got all the firewood together. He got his son. He went up on the mountain. He was ready to follow through. God stopped him short and said, okay, I see that you're faithful. That's good. This is the same type deal. God's got his son, but he followed through. It didn't stop short. Followed through. And for us. Well, he died for us while we were still sinners, as it says in Romans. And that ought to be humbling, like I say. The Lord, I'm not worthy of that. And we're not. But his perfect love, he loves us that much. It's to our human minds, it's something that we cannot fully grasp and appreciate. A love so complete. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, he can do whatever he wants, but he cares about us sinners enough to do that. Now, he could have done it a different way. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He certainly could have. Instead of sending his son to save the world through a sacrifice, he could have sent him down here to condemn us. Boom! Right? But he didn't. That's not our God. That's not the way he operates. He operates through love because he cares for us. He gave himself in the form of Jesus. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Okay. To believe in him. Now, we can say we believe something. Yeah. You can say the words. Does that mean you totally, truly believe? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But our lives should show it. We shouldn't just say we believe in God. Our lives should show that we believe in him by the way we treat others, by the compassion that we have for others, by the things that we do for others. Jesus was all about that. It was always about others. He was healing others. He was helping others. He was serving others. It was always others, not himself. Again, he was worthy of all glory, but he set this example of a servant leader. So our belief, then, should not just be something we state, but it should be something that we show. And again, our words and our actions have to line up. If they don't, that's hypocrisy, right? You say one thing, you do another. They should line up. The world should look at us as Christians and say, hey, I respect that. That person's a Christian, and it shows. May our lives show that, folks. May they show that. Let us be a light unto this world that's walking in darkness, that we can bring light to others, that we can bring them to the light. And show them what's possible. And show them how to live a life where you don't have to have all the worry and the stress because you know that God's got it, that it's all good. We're blessed beyond measure. Light had come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Okay, again, we can look back on our lives and see times like that where we were perhaps walking in the darkness. I know I was. And everyone who does evil hates the light. Now, it's not that we're hating God here, but, okay, and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. If someone's out creeping around at 2 or 3 in the morning, is there a good chance they're up to no good? Probably, okay? I got a son who's, or we have a son that's a deputy, and when he sees someone at 2 or 3 in the morning skulking around, they're probably up to no good. Now, there may be a good reason, okay? The cows got out there looking for him, okay? That can happen. Maybe they're going to work a different shift or something. That can happen. But when people are in the dark, they're trying to hide what they're doing. And this holds true today as well, of course. Because if people knew what they were doing, they would have guilt and shame. They would have to deal with it. If they can do it in the dark, nobody sees, then it's easier to cover up their sin. But when it's brought into the light, it's dealt with. And that's the cool thing. When we bring it into the light, into God's light, it can be dealt with. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So yes, we come into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So now when we walk in the light, when we've gone to that stage where we've been born again, given ourselves to God, we are walking in the light. We're walking in his light. We have to walk with others in that and have that assurance, to have that confidence, to have that hope, to have that peace, to have that joy. We're no longer hiding things in guilt and shame in the darkness. We are now living in the light with God. And what a wonderful place to be. If you're not feeling that light, folks, if you're not feeling that, You need to, okay? Rejoice in that you have a new life in Jesus, that now we can walk in the light with him as children of the light, as people who realize what he has done, as people who believe, as people who have been forgiven by what Jesus again has done. Not what we could do. We can't earn it ourselves. We're not good enough, but thank God Jesus is. So let us walk in the light. Let us live in the light, and let us bring that light to others. Amen. All right. So thank God.